What's the like hard part of self-storage?
Yeah, like every business, you're dealing with people, right?
So yeah.
I said all the pros as far as we don't deal with no plumbing, no kitchens, no bathrooms, nobody living in your units, but people still have to pay.
Yeah.
And if somebody's struggling to pay their light bill or their rent where they live at, they're not going to pay a storage unit, right?
Yeah,
it's the last
yeah.
thing I'm going to pay. You know, so you do have that risk of people not paying their rent. But mm-hmm. what I do like about self-storage is we go by lien laws and not eviction laws.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you don't pay, we put a lien on the unit. And you have 30 days to be able to pay. If you don't pay, we do an auction.
So
you know about storage wars?
I've heard of it, yeah.
So your storage wars is, you know, if you have an auction, somebody comes in and could bid on that unit.
Yeah.
Whatever's in that unit, they can sell.
Oh, right? Okay. Damn. Have you done that?
I have done the auctions, but as the owner of the facility, you can't participate in the actual buying of the unit, technically.
Oh, okay. But you could sell the stuff.
But you could sell the stuff.
Yeah.
Now, the cool thing is, as the owner, because you put a lien on a unit, I have the rights to get back whatever you owe me from whatever proceeds, if there's any proceeds from selling that unit, right?
Yeah.
So if you owe me $200-$300 that you're behind,
yeah.
If I sell this unit on the auction for $500, I get my what's owed to me.
Yeah.
And then whatever's left could go back to the person who owns the unit, who rent out the unit.
What about like, what is like, have you ever done that and something really expensive gets sold?
Yeah.
Like what?
So I actually had an experience where somebody had $200,000 cash inside of a storage unit.
No.
But if somebody
way.
Got arrested, it like it
was Oh, they got arrested?
So
how much did you get to keep?
I didn't get to keep.
Oh, nothing?
Yeah, because you
I would have kicked something.
As the owner, you know, you're not technically you can't, you know, do that. You can't get any parts of the unit. Like once you auction it off, it's to the people that actually, you know, buy that unit.
Damn.
It was somebody that got arrested. They fell behind in their payments because they was arrested and didn't know.
Yeah.
They couldn't make their payments, right?
Yeah.
And once you fall behind in your payments, you get an email, you notified. Next thing you know, the auction process happened and it's out of your control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do they call you and say, hey, like someone has $250,000?
They email you. And if you don't check your email.
Dang.
It's all you, but it's documented.
But okay, so on a situation like that, does someone get to bid on that? And are they bidding on it with the doors closed?
They bid on it with the doors open, but you don't know everything that's in because it's a mess. You know?
Yeah.
So it's a bunch of stuff in there.
Yeah.
You can't dig through it. We just open the unit and you see at a glance and you just bid on it. And whatever you get is whatever you might get some gold, like $200,000, or you might get some mattresses and couches that you barely could, you know, try to flip.
Did someone buy that $250,000?
Somebody bought the unit and that came with the unit.
No way.
Yeah, yeah.
No way. Yeah. How much did they pay for it?
I think it was a couple $100.
No way.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn, I'm about to go invest in some options.
It's a big deal. You could YouTube online. Storage war is the big thing.
Really?
So that's a real business model where people go around and they show up to the auctions and they would buy these units because they get the units for cheap and you could buy. Let's say if there's a couch in there, you clean up the couch, you can sell a couch. If it's a bedroom set or whatever is the TVs in there, you try to revive it, clean it up,
and
you sell it. That's typically the business model. But in cases like this, you know, people win big.
What? Damn. That just blew my mind right there. I'm like, damn, someone paid a couple $100.
I wish I would have got the money, but I couldn't.
Like, as the owner, I feel like you should have the rights to just keep it. Or at least sell it.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I feel the same way.
So what about why are you doing self-storage and not doing like apartments?
Yeah, so I used to do apartments.
Yeah. Right?
But with apartments, you're dealing with tenants.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've done it. You know, they call at midnight, toilet is clogged.
I know.
Kitchen sink is this. Now, they call a property management company, but the property manager still got to call you to make a decision and stuff like that. So this is just a way for you to still make money in real estate, get the equity, appreciation, cash flow, all the beautiful benefits. But now I don't have people living in my unit day to day.
Yeah.
And then when somebody leaves after a year lease, I don't have to do a full renovation on that unit now.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the reason why I don't do apartments specifically anymore. You know, I was doing it, but me personally, I found something like way better and still get the same benefits.
What else? Like, so we already talked about the financing. You just cold call sellers to find them. Like, what else do people need to know in order to, like, get their first self-storage unit?
So I know, so I want to, that's a great question. So I want to kind of give a little more practical steps, right?
Because yeah.
the quick way is find a facility, right? Get the financing, SBA, you buy it, but you have to do your market research. You want to make sure you buy in the right area. So it's called supply index, right? It's one of the terms that we need to look at in when you're buying facilities, because you could buy a facility in a dead area where there's nobody, right? Or people are leaving that area. So now you got empty units because nobody's renting because nobody's there. So you want to look at a 5-mile radius, right? And you get all the facilities in a 5-mile radius, and then you get the total amount of units. So if in 5 miles there's 4 or 5 facilities, right?
Yeah.
Let's say it's a total of 2,000 units, you know, collectively between all of those facilities. Now you take that number and you divide it by the population in that 5 miles as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that number should be a 7% or below.
Got it.
If it's higher than 7%, then typically it's like, all right, maybe I don't want to buy there because it's not enough demand.
Yeah.
Right. So whoever's buying a facility, they need to do that market research and know that there's a demand and that they won't buy a facility that's going to be sitting there empty. Right.
Yeah.
We need to look at our competitors, understand the competition. You know, what's our pricing structure? So for mm-hmm. me, when we run our facilities, it's called revenue management. Right. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to be 100% occupied. If we're 100% occupied, I have no way to increase my rents. Right. So I mm-hmm. want to keep 10% available where I could always see what the market is, what's happening in the market. So right now, this is moving season. So we're increasing the prices 20% right now because this is the moving season. Mm. And now if I have units available, I can now generate more revenue during this time versus if I'm completely full, I'm missing out on the spike of the rent that I can yeah. do during this season. So those are just a few things you want to look at. Business plan is important too. You got to have a business plan. SBA is going to require you to have a business plan.
What is a business plan?
Business plan, knowing what's your target, right? So is there apartment building nearby? Do you plan on renting out to people that live in this apartment building?
Yeah.
Is there a college or university, right? So do you plan on renting out to students during the time that they're going from spring semester to summer semester? I mean, to yeah. fall semester. So you need to understand your target, who you're going after. How do you plan on bringing more revenue to this facility? So this is what I was talking about earlier as far as generating more revenue streams.
Mm-hmm.
So we partner with U-Haul.
All right. Right.
So U-Haul has trucking and transportation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we contact U-Haul. U-Haul has a site rep that comes to the facility and makes sure they do their own market research to find out if U-Haul is even a need for this facility.
Yeah.
Once they determine that it is, they put how many trucks in, and then now you offer U-Haul services now. So if people need a truck, you know, mm-hmm. they rent out a unit, need a truck, now you offer that, but U-Haul runs that entire division and they just give us commission.
Right? Okay, like an affiliate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Insurance. So when you yeah. rent out a unit, we make it mandatory for you to get insurance because if there's a flood or a fire or whatever, you don't want to be responsible, but we get paid affiliate commissions off the insurance and different things. Moving services as well.
Yeah.
So we get paid different affiliate commissions, partnership commissions, by offering different services to these clients.
What about like, that sounds like a lot of management. So, like, when you first started, were yeah. you managing all this stuff?
No, because I went through SBA. So, they gave me, I had to get a management company, which I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
That's the same management company that manages all of my facilities. So, I don't have to be in the day-to-day of it. So, like, property management.
Yeah.
Right? Pay 10% fee, but they manage everything from day-to-day. They manage the partnership with the vendors.
Yeah.
The call center, when people yeah. are calling in. So, all my facilities are remote.
Yeah.
Right, so if you go to the facility, there's nobody there waiting to check you in. There's a sign. You can do a QR. You scan the QR code. It takes you directly to the website. You rent out your unit online. You get your gate code.
And you Did you set in. All that up?
The management company does all of that.
What?
Yeah. So I know it sounds crazy, right?
Yeah,
so
it sounds too good to be true.
Initially, I know it does, right? But initially, what you do is you pay a setup fee. So $5,000 is an initial setup fee where they come out and they set everything up for you, right? If your facility is not up to speed, they're going to make sure they do everything that they need to get the systems in place. And then after that, it's a 10% fee monthly of your revenue.
And you can't get rid of them if you wanted to.
Oh, yeah. It's a contract. You
yeah.
need that. Also, you need to have management in place. You could get rid of them and bring somebody else in. But as long as you have that agreement, you know, you finance it through SBA, you need to have management, you know,
yeah.
unless... If you don't, then they'll check up on you. You don't have,
So is that 30% margin after the mortgage and everything?
It's after everything.
Yeah. What?
Yeah. I know it sounds too good to be true.
It sounds crazy.
That's why I'm saying we got to get into the self-storage business, especially you being in real estate. And I come from residential. I did small apartments.
Yeah.
So it's the same principles. It's just that now you don't have to spend as much money on the maintenance and running that actual business. And plus, you can make more profits from it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Why don't people do it?
People doing it. Like, so right now I'm here. I'm at the self-storage conference. So it's Inside Self-Storage World Expo.
Is it?
Thousands of people right now in the Caesars World Forum that's buying self-storage.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so you didn't know it, right? You're in Vegas right now.
Yeah.
And 15 minutes up the road is thousands of people at an Inside Self-Storage World Expo conference buying facilities, networking, doing so many things. So it's the industry is just, I don't want to say untapped, but we need more exposure, right?
Yeah.
And the people that's been in it, they know it and they've been making money quietly.
Yeah.
But not sharing it out. So that's my goal. That's why I'm sharing it.
Like, and how old are you?
31.
31? Damn, we're like the same age almost. So what's like, I guess, like, what are things that are challenges to you just overall? Because it sounds like you have self-storage figured out and it's cash flowing. Are you just retired?
I'm retired, you know.
Damn, are you really?
I'm retired. Well, I work. I would take a say I'm retired because I don't have to like clock in no 9 to 5.
But,
you know, what I do full time, I check on my facilities. We have our meetings biweekly with the management company, making sure I'm working with my actual lead generation company to actually bring in more opportunity. That's what I'm doing on a daily. But outside of that is really education. So I have an education company, a community, thousands of people. We teach them these strategies and things like that. But I have other businesses and life and I have wife, kids. Like I got a bunch of stuff as well. So it's not like everything is all great, but
it sounds like it.
Self-storage is great.
Yeah.
Self-storage is great, but there's always things that come up, you know?